Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harlan McCarthy, a platform for writers, authors, and poets alike who love romance like I do. Today's guest is Kristen Morgan. She wrote a book that I read called Behind the Glass. Great book. So please join me as we find out more about Kristen and her writing career and a little more about her. Enjoy.
Hello, welcome to All About Romance, and that intro was a little rough. I thought it was better than it was. I heard some background noise, but I'm a perfectionist, so I'm always going to look at things like that. Welcome to the show today, and today's guest is Kristen Morgan. She is one of my friends off of Instagram, and she wrote a book, Behind the Glass, which is doing very well with the reviews, and it's a great book, just a romantic, dreamy type of book, and, you know, it's kind of like love conquers all. That's how I describe it. So let me introduce Kristen to the show.
Hello.
Welcome, Kristen. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm drinking my monster drink, so I have a little energy going and a little caffeine in my system. I'm doing well.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I've already had two cups of coffee today. So,
It takes me a while to drink even one cup of coffee, but sometimes before the show, I always have a monster drink. It just helps give me that edge where I'm not feeling sluggish, because usually by this time in the afternoon, because it's so gloomy here, which I like, unfortunately, but, it's winter, and you just kind of wanted to stay inside and not do anything, but I got out and went for a lovely walk today, so I started out good.
That's good.
So let's delve into your book, Behind the Glass. What inspired you to write this book? And how did it show up in your life? I'm really curious.
Well, it was definitely a combination of themes. It was just, I had literally, when you're an author, you have all of these like themes in your head and situations, and, you know, they're sort of all jumbled up, but there's a lot of the main theme was, you know, love at first sight and true love and two people that couldn't be together but somehow found a way to be together, you know, all of these things. And that's kind of what the driving force was. But to be completely honest, I just had to like sit down and kind of organize all of these things that I wanted to do with this story. And I knew very, very well what the two characters were, and I knew where I wanted them to go, but I had to kind of create a situation that seemed realistic, but also seemed a little bit, you know, in the romance, you know, realm. It had to be a little, you don't want to just read a book and have it be total reality, because that's, you know, you want to kind of escape. So I wanted to make this guy to be sort of the ultimate, like, you know, I mean, everybody that reads this book, they're like, I'm in love with Michael now, you know, because he's just this perfect guy that probably doesn't exist anywhere. But that's kind of, you know.
I'm sure there's someone close to him. Yeah.
Yes. Well, believe it or not, it's funny. Somebody asked me, this was a while back, you know, what I've envisioned, like, what I envisioned Michael looking like, and like what his character was, you know, all this other stuff. And I realized that this was kind of recently, that Jake Ryan from 16 Candles, that kind of knight in shining armor, you know, that kind of a character that's just good, you know, he's just a good guy. And it's weird because it wasn't something that I was aware of when I was writing it, but like that was kind of the, you know, I just wanted this amazing guy, and I wanted this girl to be, you know, kind of not, you know, kind of going through her own stuff, going through, you know, some issues on her own, but eventually gravitating toward this amazing guy that she deserves. So that was kind of the driving force for the whole thing.
And would you describe it as angsty, where it's, oh, there's always twists and turns and angst? Because that's my thing. I love to write angst, and I love to read angst.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just, to me,
absolutely,
it just brings the whole things together. Yeah, good. Yeah, I mean, I
well,
felt
even,
that way.
Even the first, yeah, well, even like the first chapter is, you know, these two people meet, and then she leaves. And you're like, why would she do that? What
yeah.
in the world is going on
yeah.
here? You know?
Yeah.
Like why in the world, you know, would she just leave? So like, you want to know why. And then there's another situation in the next, you know, chapter that, you know, breaks them apart again. And it's conflict, they're conflict coming together and being pulled apart. So you want to,
yeah.
you know, for each chapter, I was hoping you want them to be together. You know, they keep getting thrown together, but then, you know, they can't.
And
they
then
can't
it
be
just
together.
Makes you want to read more. You just want to read what's going to happen next, because that's, you know, those page turners. And like you were saying before, how people love your characters, that means you've done your job. You've had emotional connection with your readers, and that's fantastic when you can do that, when you're just a storyteller.
Yeah.
Like
and they're
that.
They're somewhat based, now they're not necessarily based on particular people, but parts of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because
sure.
I did want them relatable. I did want people to say, oh, I see a little of this person in that character. I see a little of myself in that character.
Right. But I think, you know, I've heard authors say, oh, they're nothing like me. But I think there's always an essence part of you when you write a character that's complicated or has issues or,
oh, sure.
you know, hopefully is relatable. And so I kind of roll my eyes when I hear someone go, oh, it's not me, and it has nothing to do with me. Oh, I think it does, because I think your experiences in life shape you to, you know,
yeah.
to bring forth these characters into your story. So I, yeah,
yeah,
I'm a little
absolutely.
Skeptical
well,
when
it,
they said
it might not be, yeah, it might not be you in the present time, but it might be a part of you from your past. It might be a part of an experience that you're bringing into it, you know, maybe subconsciously. But I think that,
right.
you know, I don't think that my main character, Rebecca, is necessarily anything like me, because she's very, you know, introverted and shy, and I am the most social person on the planet. I'm very, you know, I'm just very, very opposite her in a lot of ways. However, there are some
right.
parts of her that I can totally relate to personally. So there's got to be part of her. It's got to be part of me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And
so, yeah.
What do you think was the easiest? What do you think is the easiest part of writing for you?
I would say dialogue seems to be really, for some reason, like I'll know kind of where I want the conversation to go, but when I really get into it, there's a rhythm that happens, and I'm a very like dialogue driven reader. Like I like to see connections being made by people just talking to one another. And for some
right.
reason, almost like riffing off of one another, like when I start going on dialogue, all of a sudden I've written like 3 or 4 pages of just these two people talking, and it's kind of, you know, it's revealing a lot about themselves, but they're just talking like normal people. And I think that's just how people are in general. So
right.
when I get into dialogue, for some reason, it flies. But then when I get into like something like describing a scene or describing something, literally 2 paragraphs could take me like 4 hours, because I just can't get it just, you know, I want it to be very concise, but I want to paint a whole picture for you quickly. And sometimes that's a really hard thing to do.
That is, I agree. Totally. I don't know how many times I've gone back to a scene and read, just even tweaking a few sentences makes the whole difference in the whole
oh,
way
yeah.
you want to present that whole scene. So yeah, I get that. That's
yeah. And you don't,
you're like me.
It's hard.
We
you
were,
don't want to describe. Yeah.
yeah.
You don't want to describe too much, but you don't want to give the reader not enough. So you're like always trying to find that balance, and I think that's really hard to do.
Yeah, it's walking a tightrope. You know, it's a balance. And yeah, especially because I write a lot of twists and turns, and I have a lot of work. I have a lot of working mechanics going on in my stories, and I have to remember to keep it all, you know, in place, so that at the end of the story, it makes sense. But at the same time, you want to tie up all the loose ends. And sometimes, luckily for the editor, they will set me straight because otherwise, you can't remember every little detail, but you know, it happens.
It's amazing. Yeah, you really have to do a lot.
So, what's the hardest part of writing for you? What would you think is the biggest challenge you face as a writer?
I'm a perfectionist, and it is really hard to move forward sometimes. Like, I will go back. Like, what I typically do, because, you know, we all have day jobs, is I'll go back when I start writing again. When I sit down and I start after I've been writing for a little while, or haven't been writing for a little while, and I'll usually read, you know, whatever the pages, you know, maybe like two or three pages back, to just sort of see what the feel was, see what I was doing, you know, kind of just so it feels continuous. And I'll find that I start tweaking and tweaking and tweaking what I've already written, and I can't seem to move forward. I need to just like read it. Ignore all the things that probably are bugging me because I haven't looked at it, you know, in a few days or a day or whatever it is, and just, you know, like put it behind me and just keep moving forward. That is probably the hardest thing, is I'm constantly, you know, like, oh, well, I could say it this way, or I could do this, or, oh, I should add this, or, you know, I just, for some reason, that for me, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting there for 3 hours and I've maybe written like an additional page or a page and a half, and that's it. You know, so I need to, like, that is one thing. And that's part of the reason why Behind the Glass took me so long to write, because I was also, you know, a new author and not really sure of the process. But I'm finding that this next book that I'm writing, that I have to stop myself, you know, and I'm like, stop looking back. Mm-hmm. You have to look forward. So for me, that is by far the hardest part for me, is just to not be critical of my own work and just, you know, just keep telling the story.
Right, and I've heard too, when you finish, step away from it for like a week and then go back and look at it. It does help, because you do have fresh eyes to look at everything, and then you're going to read it and you go, wow, this is really good. Who wrote this?
Oh my God, I know. I was I had this is the silliest thing in the world. I had a review. I can't remember if it was a conversation I had with someone or if it was an actual review that I read, but they were talking about this one part of my book toward the end, and I won't give anything away, but it was this, it was a letter that somebody had written to somebody else, and they were saying that they were so thankful that I put that in there because it gave a whole new perspective to this character, and they just went on and on and on about it, and I was like, really? I'm like, I don't really remember that letter that clearly for some reason, like, I was like, what did I say? So I went back and I read the whole thing, and I was like, that was so good.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously.
It was like, wow.
You don't think about it
in the moment.
But
like, it was
you know,
silly that I hadn't really, I hadn't really given it much thought until somebody pointed it out. And then I went and read it, and I was like, okay, okay. That was pretty good.
Well, you never know the impact your writing has on somebody.
And that, to me, I have to say, it's literally like almost an out-of-body experience. I don't know how else to say it. Like, when I find out that something that I wrote that came from my brain actually affected someone or helped them or helped them work through an issue or touched them in some way, I'm just, I can't even describe the feeling. It's amazing to know that I can do that.
I personally, when I get feedback from somebody that, if you know, I've made people cry and I feel bad, but I'm so glad that they felt the emotion in the writing, or they get mad at this character that I've written because they're so rotten, because, you know, that's supposed to be the character, that they're physically angry and they just want to throttle this person, you know, and I'm like, I've done my job. I just kind of laugh and go, yay. We hit the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got a caller.
Yeah,
would you like to take a call?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay. Oh, they went away. They'll call. They'll come back. I'm sorry. They just dropped
off.
Sometimes this. They'll come back, I'm sure. What's your ritual when you're writing? Do you do certain things? Do you have to have certain things in place to write? What's your?
Only thing that I have now, I go back and forth depending on my mood. Usually I'm on the computer,
mm-hmm.
but occasionally if I get stuck or if I just need a different environment, I will actually write longhand. I don't do it very often, but it does really, it actually helps. Like if there's a scene that I'm struggling with, I will walk away from the keyboard and I will get a pad of paper and I will just write it out longhand. And I don't know if it just changes the process for me or how I think about things, but it'll kind of get me out of that rut that I'm in. And then I'll just go and I'll transfer
mm-hmm.
it later, you know, into the computer and everything. But it does. For the most part, I'm at the computer, but it does help to change my environment. I don't want to, you know, kind of always do the same thing. But the one thing that is
right.
totally consistent is I can't write without music. I can't write in silence. A lot of people prefer
like
silence. But I have to have. I have to have something going on because it also, you know, there are some scenes that are, you know, emotional or they evoke a certain, like I had a scene in one of the later chapters in my book where she was just really sad and it was really, really hard to write.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thinking about her past. And I just listened to the saddest songs when I was writing those scenes because it was kind of getting me in touch with the character and the scene and all of that. And I would just play certain songs on repeat to keep myself there. And then there were other scenes that were really romantic, and I would get really romantic music going, and that would kind of keep me there too. There are also certain songs that, for whatever reason, they just, like, I hear them, and I'm inspired, and I just want to go write. For some reason, lately, I've been completely, I said low-key obsessed, but I'm, like, completely, like, 100% obsessed with Billie Eilish and all of her music right now. And it's
mm-hmm.
really, really great to, you know, to I'll just put on a few of her songs, and I don't know what it is. Like, there's just a switch, and it's like my,
yeah.
it's just, I don't know, it's my way of just, I will start writing, you know. If I'm in total silence,
yeah.
I kind of get stuck and don't really know how to, you know, what I'm doing. It's music is about the only ritual that I have to have. Absolutely have to
That's
have
mine.
It.
That's mine too. I put on my headphones and I blast Nickelback in my head and it's rock and roll, but you know, it opens up creativity for me and it starts
mm-hmm,
flowing
mm-hmm.
and that's when I'm in the zone and I just love that. Hey, our caller is back. So let me get
okay.
them on air. Hi, this is Trish
okay.
and Kristen. Who's on the phone?
Hello.
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 Oh, hello.
Hello. How are you, ladies?
How are you?
I'm doing
good.
Hello.
And we're speaking to Susan.
Yes, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, I guess. We're no Southern girl, I guess.
Where in the South do you live?
I live in Mississippi. I was born and raised in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, but I moved to a little town called Beaumont, Mississippi, way in the woods.
Okay.
But love
I may have been there once in my life. I used to live down in Alabama for years.
Yes, ma'am. You have to come through the little old town of New Augusta and Beaumont to get to Alabama. Yes, ma'am. But I do have one
do
question
you have...
for you.
Okay.
Great question. All right. I know this is a new book you're talking about. It's coming out. It's Behind the Glass, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. What was the inspiration behind the book, and what is the most favorite thing that you love writing about the characters themselves?
Well, the inspiration for me, I would say, is I was saying before, like kind of a a love at first sight or two souls that are meant to be together, but there's something keeping them apart constantly, and they have to more or less, you know, do some soul searching within themselves to figure out how to be together. And I love anything where there's, you know, there's a love, but there's a struggle. And that was kind of the, you know, my main, you know, theme for this book was, you know, these two people are, you can tell from the first page that they're meant to be together, but how do they get there? Because they have all these, you know, struggles and challenges. And for me, the male character in this book, I liked writing him because he was very grounded. He knew who he was. He didn't really have a whole lot of struggle. He was just, you know, he was kind of the rock, I guess. Where the female character in this book has a lot of issues within herself that she has to sort of get through in her life, but also internally, things in her past, you know, all of this, to sort of be ready with herself to be in this relationship as well. And I kind of like to see a character that kind of has to struggle a little bit, but also get through their own issues, get over some things, and, you know, be able to, you know, be with this person or be in love. And I'm kind of doing the opposite with my new book, where I'm actually the female character is a little bit more stable and grounded, and then the male character is having kind of all the issues and the drama. I kind of like exploring both of those things from both male and female perspectives, but just, you know, because I think everybody goes through it. I think it's things that everybody can relate to. We all have issues. We all have stuff we struggle with personally from our past, from, you know, everyday situations. And I don't want it to be totally like, you know, completely real life. It has to be a little bit of, you know, fantasy in there too, because it's a romance. But I want it to be relatable enough to where after you read the book, you can say, oh, wow, I can relate to a lot of the things that were in there, you know.
That's true. I like that.
Can I ask a question? When you're writing a male character, how – I've been asked this question because some feedback I get is, guys don't say that, or guys don't act like that. As a female, how do you write and connect with that male character? Because, I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Yeah. Well, I think that I'm a little bit luckier in, I guess, some ways. I'm a girly girl in some ways, and I'm like a total tomboy in others. And I've got that sort of duality to me, where sometimes I'm like, I'm totally logical and totally unemotional, and, you know, all of this, where I kind of, not that men are unemotional, but, you know, I'm sort of, I can kind of see things in a certain way, where on the other hand, I can see things in a more emotional way and, you know, a little bit softer. So I try to draw a little bit of those things from myself when I'm, you know, kind of writing a guy. But also, you know, I think about men that I've known, you know, in my own life and, you know, even characters in books, but just, you know, think about like how, you know, how men are in situations. They are definitely simpler in terms of sort of just their, you know, their, emotions and their, you know, their thought process compared to, you know, women in books. But at the same time, you know, they're human. They're, you know, they're just like us in some ways too. You know, they're maybe not as emotional, but they still have to struggle with the same things that women do. They just do it differently. So it's interesting. I really have to kind of, because what I do a lot of times is I'll write a chapter from a female perspective, and then I'll write a chapter from a male perspective, and you do kind of have to make that shift. I can never really write this one chapter and then go right into the second chapter, even in the same day. Sometimes I need to, like, kind of step away and then go back in, you know, as the male character, kind of get my head in a different space.
And what about sex scenes?
Those are probably, in some ways, those are the hardest things in the world to write, because you're trying to describe things. Seriously, you want to describe things. So, you know, because like any scene, you describe somebody washing the dishes or doing whatever it is. So you have to be descriptive in what's happening. But at the same time, you're talking about a sex scene and you're trying to take yourself seriously. But it's like, it is so difficult. Like, I totally understand, you know, why people struggle with them, because you don't want it to sound, you want it to sound natural. You know what I mean? You want to describe what's happening, but you don't want it to sound, you know, you just want them to basically be reading it and imagining it, but not, you know, I don't know. It's really hard, but I love writing them. It just takes, for some reason for me, I think it takes longer because I don't want it to sound cheesy. I just want it to sound totally natural. Like you're just on the outside and you're just feeling everything that they're feeling or you're seeing what they're seeing, you know, and then you're writing about sex. So, you know, it's very interesting.
I guess you could liken it to actors who I've heard, you know, in interviews talk about how difficult it is to, you know, do a sex scene and have all these people watching you and they're, you have to be on display. And it's they say that's some of the hardest things they've ever done. You know, hard, I guess, is the figurative word there. But And sometimes, I know one time I was kind of laughing to myself because I was trying to describe the scene and I kind of had to mechanically do it myself, you know, with the bodies and, you know, and it was kind of funny because, you know, you kind of physically do what you're trying to describe in the book. It's funny.
It's totally true. You're like, okay, hold on. So his hand would go here and that would be there. And then... Yeah, it's true. But it's like anything else. It's like if somebody walked into a room and opened a drawer and took something out of the drawer and they did something with whatever that thing is, you're still describing an action and you're still, it's the same kind of thing, but then you're involving two people having sex. So it's just, it's like you really, in some ways, take the romance out of it because it's very mechanical and you're kind of describing what's going on. But then you have to kind of still interject, you know, emotion and feeling and all of that in there. So it's definitely, it took me a while to kind of learn how to do that, for sure.
So in regards to sex scenes, I've also come across the fact that some authors put sex scenes quite a bit in their stories and some not so much. And to me, they have to be well placed because most people assume that your whole story is going to be about sex because it's a romance.
Right.
And that's a stereotype we have to fight. But for me, it's not that way at all. They're well placed. And they add to the story, not necessarily every other page, you know.
Right.
At least for my story.
Exactly. For mine, I knew that this particular book was going to be, you know, a little bit more of a slow burn and, you know, all of that. But I would, my next book is going to be very different and I would like to, you know, have a little bit more of that, a little bit more spice, you know, it's kind of fun to do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because I think a lot of women, and you know, and if this is society norms too, that interject into our lives that we see so much sex and so much, you know, it's just part of advertising. It's just part of everyday life that we're slammed with this and you're supposed to look great and you know a guy slams you against a window and you know you're exhibitionist whatever it is, you know, they have this fantasy and I think it again, that's another balance, right, to have the fantasy and the reality kind of mesh together.
Exactly And I try not to, I mean, obviously, you know, anything in a book is just coming out of your imagination and it can be whatever you want it to be. But at the same time, I think that if you're so far away from reality, people start, I don't know, they can't relate to it as much. But I think that if you keep a little bit of that, you know, that realism always, even if it has to do with a sex scene, you know, whatever it is, I definitely think that you have to have that balance between kind of, you know, far off fantasy and then, you know, real life reality. You know, you don't want it to be too real, but at the same time, you don't want it to be so far away that people can't even relate.
Right. And then, you know, everyone's looking at it based on their perspective of sex and how their lives relate to that. And you know, it's interesting because when I read Fifty Shades of Grey, I got bored with the sex scenes because it was just so much, you know, and mm-hmm. and logically speaking, no man could have that much semen, seriously. good story.
Right?
But, you know, the funny thing is I loved the story. The backstory was great, I thought. So that part kept mm-hmm. me continuing to read the series. So, yeah, it's a complicated issue. It's not something that's so easy to just tackle and just, you know, go, hey, you know. So, yeah, I find them.
Absolutely.
I love to read them. It's, you know, it's a great escape for people, you know, because life can be kind of tough on people and, you know, you need an escape.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. And that's part of why I like to write so much is just it is, even when you're writing, it's an escape,
yeah.
when you're just, you have a stressful job or you have stressful life or whatever. Sometimes when I'm writing, it's stressful because you're trying to get something right or you're trying to get through a scene or, you know, whatever it is. But for the most part, it's relaxing. It's a hobby. It's something that, you know, you enjoy doing. So I think that, you know, being a writer as well as a reader, you know, you're still kind of, you know, escaping into a different world for a little while and, you know, not really looking at the real world. You're just sort of putting that aside for a little bit and you're just, you know, kind of escaping. I think that's wonderful
mm-hmm.
to be able to do.
Yeah. When you wrote the book Behind the Glass, that's considered pretty much contemporary. Is that all you're going to look at as far as writing? That's what you enjoy writing is contemporary. Or are you going to maybe look to branch out into other subgenres of romance?
I haven't really. I love contemporary. I definitely am going to stay in that genre for a while. One genre that definitely fascinates me, but I don't know if I'm clever enough to write it. Like, it's very intimidating to me, is romances with a little bit of like a thriller, you know, element to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first, believe it or not, one of the first authors that I ever read. This is really going back to when I was in middle school, believe it or not. I was on an airplane and someone finished a book and they gave it to me and they're like, here, I'm done with this book. Do you want it? And it was a book by Sidney Sheldon. I don't know if you remember that author. Back long time ago. But he wrote a lot of romances that were, you know, they definitely had romance and sex and all those other things. But there was always this element of kind of a thriller or a mystery or this person was being, you know, chased by somebody. There was always kind of this excitement, but it always kept you guessing. And that's kind of like this challenge. Like one of these days I would love to see if I could actually be clever enough to write kind of a romance thriller, you know, where, you know, something's happening, but these two people are together, you know. I love watching things like that in movies. I love reading that.
Right.
I think it would be something that'd be a lot of fun, but I think it would be a lot of planning.
when I read things
that surprise me, I'm like, oh my God, how did they do that? And I didn't even see what was going to happen, you know?
Right, right. And actually, when I started this book. That's okay.
Oh my goodness. So sorry about this. I don't know how to mute my other phone right now. Oh, Lord. Sorry about that.
Life
happens,
that's okay.
Right?
Exactly. And we're living it right this minute. I started writing this book Taboo and all of a sudden this psychopath shows up as a character. And so and people are going, oh, you write this really well. I'm like, oh, great. Now they're going to think I'm a psychopath because,
exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, I'm delving into that particular subgenre
and I find
that I love it. It is. It's great.
That's great.
I'm a twisty. I do twists and turns, and Susan will vouch this because she's one of my beta readers. That they don't know where I'm going to go, and it's always a mystery. And even for me, I mean, because you know, when you plan something to put on the page, it doesn't always show up that way.
Yeah.
It takes on a different life of its own. Right,
oh, it's
Susan?
So true. It's so true. There are times actually where I have a scene kind of planned out and I know, you know, what I'm going to do with it and everything. And then something takes a turn somewhere and it, all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
I come up with another better idea, you know, and then it just,
yeah.
the story kind of goes where the story goes because that makes more sense. I actually had to outline the book that I'm writing right now because I made like a few small changes, things that I didn't really like certain things that I was thinking about introducing. I just changed my mind about. So I was taking those things out, but then it sort of, I don't know, it sort of evolved into something else where I was like, well, if I take this out, then I could actually do this instead of this. And then all of a sudden you have like 12 other options that you have, you know, that you can do. And it's,
yeah.
you know, it's amazing how one little thing can change something. I'm like, well, if I don't do that, then I can do this and this and this. And then all of a sudden you're plotting for like the next, you know, 12
yeah.
chapters. It's just
yeah.
funny.
And then, yeah. And it just goes on and on. And then, cause I have someone I talk to about each chapter. She's my story consultant and we go back and forth. And so we plan what's going to happen. Cause I'm one of those authors that plan each chapter. I don't pre-plan all the chapters.
I do too.
I don't even know what they have a word for that, but I have no idea what it is. But I
oh,
love
like
doing
pantser?
That because is that what
yeah.
they call it? I'm a pantser.
Well, if you write by the seat of your pants and you don't, yeah, if you write by the seat of your pants and you don't really have a plan, you're a pantser, yeah. But, you
yep,
know, if you
I'm
do
a
little bit of planning, like I've outlined like about 8 chapters right now, and I know what the ending's going to be, but as far as like the
mm-hmm.
the meat of the chapters, I usually outline at least, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 ahead of time, but I don't always necessarily stick to every single thing. And it changes. So,
right.
but it kind of
right.
is that safety net where I'm like, okay, well, I know where I'm going and I know that that's where I'm probably going to end up. But even behind the glass, I had, I'd say the first maybe 3 or 4 chapters, 100% planned out. Like I knew how I was going to start. I knew what I wanted to do, but it actually changed. Maybe around chapter 5 or 6, things started changing a little bit. And I'm not
mm-hmm.
rigid. If it makes sense and if I like where it's going, then we'll go that direction.
Yeah.
You know, if I think it's a better idea.
What I found interesting in my Granite Bay series is one of the books has an ending that isn't as happy as the other 2 books. And someone goes,
right.
well, why did you do that? I said, because if I did that, it would just be boring. You know, that's kind of my outlook, that, you know, if you have an ending that's different than the other 2, it gives you some dimension actually, but that's my personal take on things. I don't want every single book to be the exact same. You know, I don't want it to be a cookie cutter, even though you continue the same characters. So,
right.
I want to ask you, is the second book you're writing, is that related to Behind the Glass, or is that completely different book you're writing?
It's completely different characters, but it's in the same universe, I guess, is the best way to describe it. It's not a series or anything like that, but it takes place
mm-hmm.
In the same area. There might be some cameos. I haven't decided yet if it makes sense of some of the characters from Behind the Glass, but it's definitely a completely, totally, totally different. And it's going to be, I think, a little bit, I don't know, steamier, a little bit more angsty. I definitely have some themes that are similar to Behind the Glass, but other things that I want to explore in terms of just, you know, struggles that people will go through, you know, to finally get together. It's kind of that same thing. But I don't know if these 2 people are necessarily like destined to be together or anything like that, but it, you know, it makes sense for them to be together, but they have their own, you know, their own things that are, you know, again, keeping them apart. So how do they eventually get back together? And that's kind of the general, you know, formula for any romance is two people meet and, you know, how do you get them to get to their happily ever after? So it's similar,
yeah.
But I'm exploring some different things, so it'll be fun. And I've got some other
is
things
that
you know, kind of, what's that?
I was going to say, is that what you want to write is happily ever after? Because I know some people do, and that's totally fine. I'm just kind of the person that just will do the opposite all the time. I'll just do something different. I try to do something different, you know. It's just kind of who I am.
Yeah. For me personally, I'm one of those happily ever after people. But
mm-hmm.
That's not to say that every single book, you know, like if I write a contemporary romance, odds are I'm going to be writing a happily ever after. But if I did like a thriller, for example, thriller type romance, maybe not everything ends up perfectly at the end, you know. I don't know. It's I know that I've definitely read some more thriller type romances where like everybody's kind of happy at the end, but not every single little thing has worked out, you know, and there may be some sacrifices
right.
that have to be made because of, you know, and the thrillers are a little bit different, you know, because there's sometimes people will get murdered or something, you know, something will happen.
Right.
You know, I don't know. But I'd say for like the contemporary romance, yeah, I'm definitely more on the happily ever after. I want them to get their good ending, you know, end up together somehow.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I torture you for like a whole book to get there, but eventually I'd like to see them together.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Have you read Lisa Jones? She writes, yeah, she writes a lot of that type of thriller romance. And to me, that's the best, you know, education if you want
to
write, you know. Yeah, she's really good. She's written quite a few books, and she's really good.
Yeah.
We're getting low on time, so do you want to tell folks where they could stalk you online? Not really stalk you, but find you on social media?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I'm everywhere. Well, first and foremost, I have a website, and it's it is www.kristenmorgan.com. You can find any information you want to on there. I have a newsletter. I have a blog. I have links to all of my reviews. I have links to all of my social media accounts. Everything, anything and everything is there. And I'm on Instagram as kristen.morgan. I'm on Facebook. I have an author page, which is Kristen Morgan Author. And then I just have a personal account that's just Kristen Morgan. I'm on Twitter as Kristen Morgan or at Kristen Morgan, all one word. You can find me on Goodreads. You can find me on BookBub, All Author. I'm literally everywhere you could possibly think of. My book is on Amazon right now, and it's sold in a couple local bookstores. But right now, since I'm on Kindle Unlimited, I'm really exclusively on Amazon, but that might change. I might be changing some of that. I haven't decided yet, but for right now, you can find me on Amazon, and I'm just currently writing my next book. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be out, but my goal right now is August of 2020, so we shall see.
All right. And I wanted to add that Morgan is spelled with an E, G-E-N, not A-N, just for clarification, because I misspelled your name one time, and I was so embarrassed. But, you know, that's just me. I'm goofy.
Yeah, it's M-O-R-G-E-N. That is kind of the most common mistake.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
It's actually
and
kind
I,
of easy
I just
because
wanted...
Kristen and Morgan are both E-N, so if that helps.
Right. No problem. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kristen. It has been very enjoyable
thank
and just
you for having
lovely
me
chat. Absolutely. And next
yes,
week,
thank you.
Our,
this was so
our,
much fun.
Our guest will be Callie Brixton, who's one of my other author buddies and yours too, I believe.
Oh, I love her.
From Instagram. She's great, and she's a new author. She hasn't published yet, so I'm really looking forward
I
to
know.
Talking with her and seeing how she is handling being an author. And so thank you again for
absolutely
joining us. It's been such a pleasure and an honor, and come back anytime. You're welcome anytime. So
thank you so
you
much.
Come back,
I appreciate
we'll,
it.
We'll be happy to have you. And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll see you next week. Take care.
Thanks again, everyone.
Bye-bye.